Hello and happy Monday, everyone. Hope you had an awesome weekend. I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news because of you. Lots of big headlines to get to and not a lot of time to do it, so let's get to it. We start in Washington, where today U.S. President Donald Trump is set to host Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky as they look to end Russia's war in Ukraine. And they'll have company, a host of European leaders from the U.K., France, Germany, Italy, and Finland are slated to attend, as well as the head of the European Union. The high-stakes meeting comes just days after Trump's historic summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska. Trump has told European leaders he wants to arrange another meeting between himself, Putin, and Zelensky as soon as this coming Friday.
Based on today, when you talk to Vladimir Zelensky, what's your advice to...
Make a deal. Russia's a very big power. And they're not. Now it's really up to President Zelensky to get it done.
While a trilateral meeting could yield major progress towards ending Russia's war on Ukraine, it comes as President Trump appears to be changing his stance on the best way to accomplish that. In the wake of his meeting with Putin, Trump is pushing for a lasting peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. It's a reversal of his previous calls for an immediate ceasefire, something both Ukraine and its European allies support. The shift also appears to align more with President Putin's approach, spurring questions about what exactly a potential deal would entail. Our Nick Peyton Walsh will give us a closer look.
Well, after all the pomp and welcome of Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska, we are now looking again at another high-stakes meeting between President Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, again in the White House, and hopefully for Ukraine, not a repeat of the horrific blowout that we saw earlier on this year. He'll fly Zelensky to DC to continue the lengthy phone call he says he just had with Trump. What's emerged from that? One European official saying to me, look, Putin's demands haven't really improved. He still, that European official says, still wants control of all of the Donbass region, which he's fighting fiercely for at the moment, that Ukraine will not withdraw from, and that a few weeks of inconclusive diplomacy might buy his forces the time they need to make real progress in. The positive news for Ukraine, the growing talk now of security guarantees for it, if indeed a real peace deal is reached. Now, we've heard from French President Emmanuel Macron that the US is willing to contribute to security guarantees. I've heard from a European official the possibility that might be some kind of Article 5 arrangement. That's a term used by the NATO alliance about collective security. You attack one of us, you attack all of us. No one's suggesting NATO would be involved here, but it would be significant for Ukraine if European powers with American backing told Russia, if you attack Ukraine after this peace deal, you're attacking all of us. That's the sweetener. We don't know what the bitter pill, though, for Ukraine necessarily to swallow is yet. But ultimately, Putin wants time, and he's bought himself a lot of it.
In weather news, an update on Hurricane Erin. At the time of this taping, the storm was still churning in the Atlantic as a major Category 3 hurricane after rapidly intensifying to a Category 5 storm earlier in the weekend. Erin exploded from a Category 1 with 75 mile per hour winds on Friday morning to a Category 5 with 160 mile per hour winds just 24 hours later. This puts Erin in the history books as one of the fastest strengthening Atlantic hurricanes on record, and maybe the fastest ever this early in the season. Sunday, Erin passed just north of the Caribbean, lashing Puerto Rico and other islands in the region with heavy rains from its outer bands. And while it's expected to curveball back out to sea and not make any direct landfall, those of you on the East Coast could still feel its impact. Pay close attention to local weather reports and look out for any storm alerts as well. The storm is still expected to double or even triple in size, causing potentially life-threatening surf and rip currents from the Bahamas all the way to Canada. Now to a story I want you to discuss with friends and family. Hundreds of robot athletes are preparing to power down after competing in the world's first humanoid robot games in China. The competition began Thursday in Beijing and ends today. 280 teams from 16 countries competing in 26 different events, soccer, track and field, and boxing. During the opening ceremony, humanoid robots showed off their skills in martial arts. They played keyboards, guitars, the drums, and even danced to some hip-hop. Organizers say the games are a chance to collect data that help future development. Press pause. Wrap your head around how you feel about these games. Many are pondering whether this is a celebration of human ingenuity Others are wondering if these are examples of robots continuing to take over life as we know it. Pop quiz hotshot, which famous scientist is credited with discovering the relationship between electricity and magnetism? Isaac Newton, Michael Faraday, Albert Einstein, or Nikola Tesla? Answer is Michael Faraday. In 1831, he demonstrated that a changing magnetic field could induce an electric current in a nearby wire. He also invented the first electric motor. Time now for a CNN 10 student spotlight. One of the smartest, wittiest, inspiring, and most passionate people I've ever met. He's just 10 years old. I caught up with Sean the Science Kid. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Amplified sound waves coming from me. Here with a special guest, a CNN 10 student spotlight, the one and only Sean Adeshkobe, a.k.a. the Science Kid. You probably have seen him on the socials, more than 1.4 million followers on Instagram alone. Sean, I have to ask you, how did you first become so interested in science and so much so that you want to share it with other people?
So ever since I was a kid, I've just been interested in learning. It's so beautiful because it explains everything in the universe, from the light here to you talking right now.
I love that.
Sharing it with the world is important because we need everyone to know about this magical field of education that explains everything.
It's where it all starts. So let me ask you this. Are there any maybe common science myths that really bug you and you just want people to know?
You only use 10% of your brain.
Wow.
That is wrong.
That is wrong.
You use 100% of your brain all of the time. Because memory is active. It's always working, which means it still has to be used.
So I have a question for you. A bad dad joke, if you will.
Oh, I love that. Bad dad jokes.
Why can't you trust anything an Adam says?
Because they make up everything.
He knows it. All right, listen, I know you have an experiment. You've been just chomping at the bit to show us this. We're going to take center stage here. All right, what do we have here, and what are you going to do with it?
We have an electromagnet here. Now, if you've ever heard of Faraday's law of induction, you know that magnetism and electricity are interconnected, which means both of them create the other. So when you take a coil of wire, ba-da-da.
Did you say coil wire?
A coil of wire.
Oh, coil, got it.
You take this and attach it to an electrical current, then what will end up happening is a magnetic field should be created. Try and get a current running through and see if
it has
magnetic effects. So when we connect them.
So you're running the battery through the wire into the nail and voila! It's not magic, it's science. Before we go here, one thing we always do at the end of the show is we give shout outs to our school. And now that you're in a new high school for the first time, a freshman, can we give a shout out to your school, the
shout
name,
out.
City, state, and mascot?
Shout out to Hills Academy in DeKalb.
Hey, high five. Thanks for keeping me warm and informed. Do you know a student helping their community, school, or just doing something that deserves a spotlight? Email us a video. Send submissions to CNN10 at CNN.com, and we'll be spotlighting standout students all year long. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a masterpiece of a program teaching youngins how to get a hold of themselves on the water. Kids from underserved communities are making waves in a new program designed to teach them how to set sail on the Chesapeake Bay. 8 young sailors learned the ropes and knots of how to maneuver the boats in rudderly any direction, how to properly dock as well, talk about peer pressure, even what to do if the boat were to capsize.
We learned how to rig the boat, de-rig the boat, tacking and driving.
Organizers of the program say they hope to break down the assumption that sailing is a sport only for the wealthy, because the Chesapeake Bay is a natural resource that belongs to everyone. Ahoy, mateys, we see you. A couple of awesome shout-outs today. This one goes to our friends at the Eaton Academy in Roswell, Georgia. I have seen the incredible work you're doing in your shop class, and all I can say is rise up. And this shout out goes to Mr. Wren and friends at Monterey County Youth Center in Salinas, California, thank you for spending part of your day with us. Remember to subscribe to our CNN 10 YouTube channel and put those shout-out requests in the comments section of our latest video. Go out and set the tone for an awesome week. Remember, what you think, you become. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.